Very good. Isn't it good to honor people? Isn't it good? Listen, I love being a part of a culture that honors one another and loves and encourages one another and the people who are making it happen. I just want to make a couple comments. I'm going to share some things about the future here, get you talking in here in a little bit. I have about 56 minutes I can burn hot with you, and that's what we're going to do here. Bridge City Church, can you believe it's going to happen? Coming to a location near you March 4th. And a lot of people have been asking me questions about this. I want to make it really, really clear. The core values of who we are not changing. We are who we are. Why are we changing? Well, bottom line is Greater Pittsburgh Word and Worship Fellowship was the original name. Word and Worship Church was a really cool name in the 80s. And as I shared in Murraysville, we're not in the 80s anymore. We are in 2018, and we're looking forward. And Word and Worship really connects with church people. It speaks to them. But two things. We want, and we're going to do everything short of sin, to see as many people as possible begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers of Jesus. And if it means that we're going to change the name so it can be a little more attractive for your friends, your family, and those far from God, that's who our target is. And so if we can do that and bridge, Jesus is the original bridge builder. We talk about crossing the bridge. So we want as many people to cross the bridge to life, and we're going to do everything we can to help people cross that bridge. And we're going to still have relationships and connect to one another. And so we're going to do everything we can to do that. And I know this is a big change, but I want to make it really, really clear that that we want to be generational in our mindset too, generational towards the next generation coming after us. And in the next 35 years, look, in I was thinking about this morning. You know, I don't know how many of us will be in the leadership connection in 35 years from now. And that's a sobering thought, but I was thinking about this. I was wondering how many people will get their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life as a result. I was just thinking the last two mornings with my time with Jesus. I was just thinking about how many lives and changed lives and transformed people by the power of the Holy Spirit will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, living fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ's lives, totally connected to God. See, I don't know about you, that's what I'm in it for. Come on, is that what you're in it for? That's what I'm in it for. And this is just a change. It's not the change. It's not the silver bullet. But we're going to keep doing whatever we can to change. And I got challenged that I said that I don't think more people are going to get saved as a result of it. And a couple people have told me, they are going to get saved as a result of it, because it's going to be more appealing. It's going to be a young, you know, we're listening to younger generations stepping in. So that means we need the older generation, the focus generation, to have something to pass on. And we're going to continue to blaze the trail. We're going to continue to have something that we lay down our lives so that another generation can pick it up and follow God and serve God all the days of their life and the purposes of God in their generation. So I hope that you're excited as I am about this, and just looking forward to great, great changes there. So the best thing that we have to offer one another as leaders in this Bridge City piece here is this. What is the best thing that we have to offer people? I read it in John 15:5, and I'm going to just say it there. The best thing we have to offer is a passionate, fully energized, well-rested, Holy Spirit-filled self. I want to let you know that the best thing we have to offer people as leaders really is being passionate. Come on, fully energized, Holy Spirit-filled. Come on, well-rested self. That's what we have to offer people. And that's the Jesus that we want people to be a part of here. The one big common denominator that we have is that when people come and that they're a part, and that they're going to be a part, is that we pray for people. Do you know that group leaders, where's all my group leaders out there? Do you know that the number one thing about a group leader that sets all groups apart, this is the number one common denominator in groups that multiply and grow and grow more leaders. The number one thing is leaders that will pray daily for everybody in their group. How many of y'all know that doesn't take a personality style? That doesn't take any of those things? What that simply means is if we will pray and believe God for one another, great things are going to happen. So I'm going to be passionate, well-rested, Holy Spirit-filled self. Come on. Now, a couple things that we're focusing on this year in this year. I'm just kind of giving you my focus here. Number one is we are going to get prayed up and prepped up for everything we do. We are going to get prayed up and prepped up. That means we are getting in front of everything we can. We are already have made plans, and we have people scheduled to come next January for our prayer and fasting time. Listen, we are going to get out in front of everything as campus, every ministry. We are going to get better at getting planned and prepped up and prayed up for what we're doing. Because, listen, if we want more people to experience Jesus, we can't fly by the seat of our pants. We're going to have to get prepped up. So you're going to hear me mention this a lot. Number two is just pastoral care. Pastoral care in groups and teams. Where do people experience family? People experience family in groups and in teams. So listen, 98% of pastoral care isn't a pastor caring, it's having somebody care. Now, we've been using this term, but I really want to stress, like, it's people caring for people. Where is family realized? It's in every team leader. Where's my team leaders out there? You're creating family atmosphere. Come on. And in every group, we have that's where family is. That's where we get connected. That's where we care for one another. So what does pastoral care mean? I've taught this to all the group leaders. I'm just reviewing you, giving you my 30,000-foot view today. It's perspective. It's godly perspective. And this is, I'm going to start preaching tomorrow's message. I can feel it coming on me here. So I got to be careful here. It's perspective. It's being encouraged through prayer. It's being challenged because we all need to be challenged. So what does pastoral care mean? That means you have somebody giving you godly perspective. You have somebody encouraging you through prayer. You have somebody challenging you to live to your full potential. And we have people helping and encouraging us to take our next step with God, no matter what your next step is. That's what pastoral care is. And that's what we want. That's the season we're in as a church. What else are we doing as a church? Listen, we got to keep it simple. And there's this thing called simple versus easy. And as a church, it is so easy to try to make things easier rather than keeping them simplistic. I don't know if you know this. Jesus never made it easy to follow him. But it was very, very simple. And this is simple versus easy. And what I feel that in our church, it's so easy to say, we need to lower the standard so we can get more people in. Pastor, is that what you're doing with Bridge City Church? No. The standard will be the standard. We can't lower that, especially for leaders. But what we need to do is get better at communicating the standard. Okay, so as a leader out there, you may say to yourself, well, man, if I raise the standard and I confront somebody that's late for ministry on Sunday morning and they won't click green, they won't go on Planning Center, if I confront them and challenge them in pastorally care, well, then they're gonna quit and then I'm really going to be out of a person. Well, let me ask you a question. For somebody who's habitually late, unprepared, lowers the standard, what are we really losing? Now, I'm not saying, see, there's this tension. Remember, we live in tension. There's a tension that we have that being nicer than Jesus, and most of us in this room are nicer than Jesus. Well, there's grace. We got to be easy. You can't put too many standards on people. Well, wait a minute. We should be raising the standard, not lowering the standard. And how do we do that? That means if we want to keep it simple, we always remember what is at stake. And number two, why are we doing this? Let me give you an example, Planning Center. I tell people this all the time. I say, when you refuse, just refuse, after I've helped you, like, well, first of all, let me ask you, do you have a computer? Do you have access to Planning Center? Do you have physical? Okay, so you can do it. You're logged on, yes. You know how. We've empowered you to do that, right? Hear that? I solved the problem. I asked the questions. Once somebody just says, well, I just don't see it as important. Well, this is what's at stake. On Sunday morning, your campus pastor, your A-team coordinator, your team leader is so focused on you, they can't focus on Jesus. So what you think is you're more important than Jesus right now. So that's really what happens. When you say, I just refuse, what you're saying is you're more important than Jesus because you want me to think about you rather than thinking about Jesus and the Word of God and the mission that he's given us. See, that I'm not saying to say it with a mean heart. I'm not saying scream and holler and spit. But what I'm saying is what's at stake is that we want to be prepped up and we want to be organized so that when people come in on Sunday morning, the only thing that they stumble over is Jesus. And when we don't have, when we're not communicating accurately. So how do we do this? So when somebody's not meeting their standard, they're lowering it, we have to be able to communicate to them and not let them off the hook. Have a conversation. What's the backstory? Is there a reason you're having trouble here? Then communicate what's at stake and why are we doing this? I just gave you a little bit right there, but I wanted to give you a picture of what we're doing right now as a church. Does that help you at all? Is that little bit helping you? Well, I'm going to be with the team leaders in just a little bit. I'm going to go into that a little bit more and kind of unpack that for you there. I want to move now to and want to discuss some changes in positions here at the church. I just want to just kind of give you a snapshot real quick. And first of all, I want to recognize our new children's ministry director. Now remember, director is over the entire church. Coordinators and team leaders are in every campus. We are so excited to welcome to our team Bridget Jackson from Brighton Heights. Could you stand up? Let's welcome her. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And just wanted to recognize that. And just, you know, people ask me that is a part-time, you know, position. So she's with us at staff meetings and helping plan. She's meeting with a lot of the team leaders right after, and she's doing a great job already. And so thank you. Next is a youth director. When Matt Carmona left, kind of left us a void right here. And so when Matt Klingensmith became an elder, we said, man, we got an elder and a youth director all in one. Where's Matt? Could you stand up back there? Matt's our official youth director, overseeing youth and doing that. That's because you're so young at heart, you know? And so thank you. Also, just so you know and you hear this, Matt and Sarah, and you're taking all four kids, right? Okay. They got two more weeks at Murraysville, and then they're going to be officially going to the White Oak campus. They live a lot closer to here. Just makes a lot of sense. But I wanted you to hear that that when they're no longer at Murraysville, it's not because they're mad. They still love the campus pastor there. And everything's great. And we're so sad that they're doing that. But we're really happy. That's the joy of having so many locations. You know, pick one near you. You know, I really enjoy when people get really upset with me and they leave one campus and go to another one. I think that's so cool, you know. That's not the case with Matt and Sarah at all. They just happen to be living closer to one, and they're going to be more effective there. And so I just wanted to make sure you knew that one. Dan Perkins officially is on full-time at the church as the campus pastor of North Braddock just as of last week. So you came back every day, and you're doing it. So we're excited about that. And last but not least, I wanted to mention to you, and somebody who has served the church, it was 18 years, I believe. And Cheryl Romanek has served our church faithfully for 18 years. Am I right? It's going on 18. It will be 18. Yeah, that's right. And 17, going 18 years. And she has made a decision that she's no longer going to work for us at the church. She's going to be doing some other things. So she's going to be with us until June 1st. So it's June 1st. That's when she'll be officially there. She hasn't said she's leaving the church or anything. That's not the case. She's not mad, obviously, the way that's being processed. You know, it wasn't just an abrupt change. We are looking at how to replace her and all the things that she does, and we're looking at the way to replace her. If you know somebody that's looking, like in the office admin piece and working with people and working with volunteers, maybe it's you, maybe you know somebody in our church that would fit that. We're looking to hopefully fill that spot by, we're hoping to do it by the end of April so there's enough overlap so that we hit June 1 running. So if you know that, please let Austin, our business director, know, or me. But Cheryl, thank you so much for all the years of service. And come on. And come on, let's give her a big hand. Awesome. Thank you so much. And Okay, right in the middle of your notes there, there's a statement there that says, what have you seen, heard, or experienced that tells you we are accomplishing our mission? I believe that the best wins, we could have all come up here and listed all the wins, but I believe they're sitting right out there. There's things that you see. There's things that you hear. There's things that you experience that are telling you that we are accomplishing our mission as a church. This is what I'd like you to do. I'd like you just to get in groups of maybe 3 to 4, preferably if you have to take in 5, don't take more than 5, no less than 3, no more than 5. I want you to just get in a group. I want you to answer this question. What have you seen, heard, or experienced that tells you that we are accomplishing our mission as a church? You're just going to get into groups right now. I want everybody just to share what you have seen, heard. So no less than 3, no more than 5. No less than 3, no more than 5. All right, if you could pull it in there, I'd greatly appreciate it. And very, very good. I'm going to wrap it in, wrap it up there. Really, really good. How many of y'all met somebody you didn't know before and in your group? Anybody? One, very good. Anybody else meet somebody you didn't know in your group? Very good. Very good. Free coffee. You get extra donuts to go home if you did that. Now, how many of y'all that was helpful? Was that good? Now, back here in this group back here, they told me they had 50 of them, and they told me they crushed it here. So here, can you stand up here? Come on, here, you stand up with me. Come on, you're good. Okay, tell me your name and what campus you're a part of.
Jessica Murray. Ooh.
Go ahead.
Jessica Murray. I don't need this. Jessica Murray, East Liberty!
Very good. And what was one of the ones that you had? Just one. Turned it off. It's off. I don't. Okay, guests that are bringing guests. Very, very good. Very good. You didn't need a microphone.
Yes.
Very good. Who else has one over here in this section? Who has one for me? Come on. Who got something you've seen, heard, or experienced that tells you we're accomplishing our mission? Come on. Well, my goodness. Please give me a reason. Come on. Come on, come out here real quick. Just come out here. Don't step on your wife there, please. Very good. And I got you a microphone because I know you're so soft-spoken. Yeah. And what's your name, sir?
Tom Walter.
And what's the best, I mean, what campus are you a part of?
The best campus, yeah, Murraysville.
Okay, very good. Okay. Okay, what have you
seen,
heard,
experienced?
He sent
me to White Oak. I haven't gone yet.
Yeah. We keep trying to get you to go to White Oak, but you keep coming back. Okay, very good.
We talked, and we had 3 rolled into 1. First of all, nobody seems to, at Murraysville, ever say, gee, nobody came to talk to me. Nobody, you know, everybody seems to be known, okay? And even if they sit alone, people, we go to see people, and there's 3 lined up when I'm going to meet a new person. I have to wait on you, you know, 2 other people, that before I can meet them. The other thing is needs. Not just, you know, we thought of the Perry family, and every campus, man, every campus has reached out, just done millions of things. Mm-hmm. They don't even know who the Perrys are. I had people say, who are the Perrys? What's their number? Where do they live? And where do they go to the church? I just want to help.
Amen.
And so they say.
Very good. Awesome. Let's give God a hand there. Amen. Who else in this section right here? Who got one for me right here in this section right here? Very good. Stand up, sir. What's your name and what campus do you go to?
My name is Bruce, and I go to the White Oak campus.
The White Oak campus. Very good. Yeah. Good deal. What do we got for me?
So we've seen 7 people get saved like over the last weekend, 6 at the blessing board and 1 that got saved this past Sunday. So
come on. That is awesome. Come on. That is the most important thing we do every Sunday. How about this section up here? Somebody got one in this section right here. Right here. Come on, sir. What's your name? And what is that? I'm not sure what a Florida State is. Okay.
I got so many of these anymore, I can't help but wear them.
Okay, good.
We met Ashley and Samuel from the White Oak campus, And what they shared was White Oak is consistently over 200 now, right? That's what they said. So, and then
amen.
Just sitting with them and getting to know newer people, that's what we're supposed to do.
Very
right?
good.
That's what we do.
Very good. Awesome, awesome. I'll just give God a hand. Come on. Somebody right here in this section right here. Come on, come on, help me out. Come on, help me out. You just got to stand up.
Give me the mic. Yeah, give me the mic. Serve
me. Come on, sir. Come on. What's your name, sir?
Bill.
Where do you come from?
Far, far away.
What campus are you a part of?
Oh, yes, the North Brighter campus. And
that's awesome.
One of the things that we talked about was just the generational growth that the campus has here at North Braddock, period. Like Word and Worship Church, Bridge City Church, that we believe in generation. And I was just telling, you know, John here, I was just so proud of him. Like every time he goes to pick up a kid, and that car ride is very vital, that he can't go anywhere. They're doing 30 miles, 50 miles an hour. You locked in the car, and all he's doing is listen to this guy just ramble. Because I know the kid, and he just rambles. And you know what? That's the communication. That's that connection that is very vital when we're trying to build in the youth. And I was, I'm so proud of him. Like, he really spends time with him. And the guy follows him around everywhere. Like, everywhere. You know, and that's compassion. And that's commitment to what we believe in here at Word Worship Church.
Amen. Very good. Let's give God a hand. Very, very good. Amen. Anybody else over here? Right here in this section. Oh, we got two. Just stand up right where you are. What's your name and what campus you're a part of?
Sherry Tiskevich from White Oak. Woo!
Come on. Very good. And what have you seen, heard, or experienced that tells you we're accomplishing our mission?
I just love seeing people take their mask off and being real.
Very good. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Come on, let's give God a hand. That's awesome. I know I saw it. Is that a hand? Yeah. Come here. Real stand up. What's your name and where do you come from?
I'm Pam and I come from Murraysville. In Murraysville. We're seeing like so many new people coming into the church. As we walk in, it's like a whole new faces everywhere. And not only that, but they're getting plugged in to connection groups, taking their next step. And outreach has really significantly changed and very significant in bringing those new people in, I do believe. And just
amen.
Wonderful new faces, new people needing a whole lot of new love and connection, and that's what they're getting.
Amen. Very, very, very good. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I'm going to jump over to this section. Who got one for me right here? Right here. I'm going to do this section first here. I'm going to split it in half. Come on. I know y'all. Very good. All the way over here. Is that me? What's your name and where do you come from?
Hi, I'm Sue and I come from here. We have seen so many people coming to the Sunday morning huddle. We really don't even fit in the huddle room anymore.
Amen. Very, very, very good. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And who do we have back here? What's your name and where do you come from?
Inky, Brighton Heights.
Very good. And what have you seen, heard, or experienced that tells you we're accomplishing our mission and vision?
We have had so much growth. We have doubled our leaders from last semester with Connect Groups.
Wow, that's good.
That says a lot. Doubled the coaching. People are serving in ministries. People are just stepping up. We're growing. They're meeting their next steps. A lot of good stuff.
Very good. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Very, very good. Anybody else on this side? Real quick. Jared, come out here real quick. Come on, let him through. Last one, make it good. What's your name and where do you come from?
Jared Campbell, Murraysville campus.
Very good. Go ahead. What have you seen, heard, or experienced?
Well, all three of us are in the youth, so we're just focusing on them. And they've just been growing a lot more closer to each other, closer to God. They've been seeing increased passion for each other and really a true love for each other is building, especially among the guys. Since we were all guys, we know that. But we've seen a lot of the youth getting connected onto teams. We've started like our own like worship team in the youth. Our greeting team. They've been getting connected onto teams like during actual church services on Sundays with production, ushering, everything that way. So it's just been a lot of growth.
Very good, awesome, way to go, way to go. Here, can you grab that? Awesome. I also just so you know, connection group wise, church wise. Connection group-wise, we have hit our goal. Our goal is that 80% of the people who regularly attend are actually signed up for a group, and we hit that goal. We actually surpassed that goal pretty significantly. I mean, it went way. We really, really hit it. So group leaders, thank you. You guys are doing it, man. Come on, let's give all the group leaders a big hand. Come on, that is so huge. And thank you to all the coaches and to the directors. I'm very appreciative of all that you do to help pastor people. Isn't it fun just to, sometimes that question helps us see and share what we're seeing and hearing and experiencing. Because sometimes it's all around us and we just don't know it, you know? Hey, I wanted you to draw your attention. In your packet, there's a thing called Campus Constants. Campus Constants. I'm not going to read this whole thing to you. I just wanted to bring attention to it. What makes us us? What makes us like the one church in five locations? And yes, we are saving money towards the six. We're going to keep reproducing because we believe that the world's a big place. We want to depopulate hell, populate heaven. And as long as we got breath, that's what we're going to do. Right? Amen? And so what makes us us? And I just wanted to review this real quickly. Some of the things that we agree that are kind of, or not kind of, they are the things that we say these are important to us. So to be one church in five locations, these are the constants that can't change. And so just so that we understand that. Number one is groups, connection groups. They all start at the same time. They stop the same time. They speak the same language. With apprenticing, we have the same types of groups. We have groups that are big idea groups, study from Sunday. We have Bible study groups. We have marriage, family, financial. That's pretty much the groups. And I mean, I consider a lot of the book studies that go out very much similar to a big idea group. That's just, you could say it's special interest like that. During the summer, we do have activity groups, but that's there. The preaching team. I am so, so honored to serve with the men who serve on our preaching team to get up early on Monday morning. Monday mornings at about 6:15, we gather together and we eat breakfast, and then we talk about the word and what's happening. And everybody that's on that preaching team, could you stand up real quick? Everybody that's on that preaching team. Come on, let's give all of them all a big hand. Thank you. Thank you. Way back there. And Nate's there. And I know you're going to look around and you probably said, well, why isn't any women on that team? We're actually looking for some women that would be willing to get up at and get to my house at 6:15 on Monday morning and be around, because really we're looking for that. We're getting better at our preaching. So we preached predominantly the same message. We work together. And I'm just going to say this. After years of doing it all alone, I've gotten a lot better because a lot more people are helping. I know it. I'm not so stupid to think I'm this good on my own. I know that working together and sharpening our skills really works. So I'm grateful for that. The ones will remain constant, the one vision, budget, leadership, and doctrine. We have a centralized process and systems for all of our business. We have one budgeting, one our church staff. We have one way to do it. Our banking, we have one bank account. We have one checking account. Everything that we do is funneled through there. We have one internet presence and database. We agree that this is the way that we'll do it. There will be a new website launched on March 4th, bridgecitypgh.com. I did get that one, right? I get that. Okay, good. I've been telling everybody that's what it is, so I'm sure I hope that is. So, but we have that. We metric. We track the same things together. Our vision, our leadership connection. We believe that when we come together, this is important. This trains us. This equips us, and this is what we do together. So this is really, really important. We have one vision, and our mission statements are the same. They're listed there. I'm not going to read them to you. We will do everything possible, short of sin, to see as many people as possible cross the bridge. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Easter's coming. Easter's kind of a big deal and a big day. And we are going to do everything possible. So group leaders, listen to me. Group leaders, we're going to ask you to do everything you can to lead your group, to make a list of people, friends, family, and those far from God, to make a list, and we're going to pray over them, pray for them. And then we're going to invite them to come and cross the bridge to life on Easter Sunday. That's what we're going to do. This is a big day. It's an easy invite on Easter. And we're not going to have jugglers and clowns and unicorns or anything like that at church. We're just going to be who we are because we believe the Jesus we serve on a regular basis, he's more than enough. Come on. Okay, come on. Do you believe that? I believe that. And and team leaders, we need to start now preparing for Easter. Then training, equipping, what we do, how do, what we do, gathering people into the family of God. This is what we measure, attendance, salvations, baptisms, mature Christians, victory and freedom, personal ministry times, Holy Spirit baptisms, giving of themselves, going into our world to make a difference. I just thought, our leaders all thought it was a really good idea to review those, just to remember, what do we get when we're together? Like, why do we do what we do? You know, when we're together, there's a synergy. There's our systems plus support plus synergy equals our culture. And our culture is a set of attitudes. It's a set of values that makes our organization what it is. So where does that come from? So if this is our culture, it comes from these things. So what do you get when you're apart? You get systems, support, and I don't know if you could feel it. Isn't there a synergy being here today? There's a synergy that happens. And that's what we get. And so that creates our culture where we love to honor one another. We love to cheer one another on. We love to encourage one another. We love to speak life to one another. And listen, we're growing in groups, and we're growing team leaders, and we're doing it all. And I think that's really, really awesome. So that's what we get. And that's what's at stake here, like to do what we do. I'm going to switch gears, number six here, and I'm going to talk just very quickly about small church versus growing church mentality. And for all of us, it's really easy within the big structure that we have is to feel like, well, I'm insignificant, or even though, like, that's them and this is us, and we're doing everything possible to bridge the gap between central, where it all happens, and each campus. But it's easy for small church mentality to come into our church and to our location and erode growth. So it's really, it's not small church versus big church. It's small church versus healthy or growing church. Because I want to be a part of something that's growing. And if I'm going to give an account for lives, and if I'm going to give an account for what we did for Jesus, I want to make sure I'm getting good at it now. How about you? And so there's this small church mentality that creeps in, and then there's growing church mentality. And there's two different mentalities that sometimes are at war, and sometimes they can cause different things in our hearts and their lives. They're stretching us in different ways. Now, in just a moment, you're going to split up into your group again, and you're going to discuss small church versus growing church, and what are the difference between the two. And what I'm looking for is just give some examples of what does a small church, what's that mentality, and what does a growing church. Now, let me give you an example. Small church, everybody knows everybody and everything. In a growing church, you've experienced family in groups and teams because you can't know everybody. That's not the goal. Listen, in a family reunion, I've said this over and over. Family reunion, I don't know about you. Sometimes you go to a family reunion of 30, 40 people. That's not called a family. That's called a family reunion. In all of our locations, we're over that right now. We're 60, 70, 80, 100, 125, 200, etc. That's beyond a family. You can't know everybody, but you can know your group and you can know your team. Does that make sense? So I want you to get into your groups. I want you to come up with at least three things that define small church mentality and three things that define growing church mentality. Just talk it out. Even if you're not sure what they're looking for, I bet you somebody in your group knows. Just ask them and say, what is that? So go, ready, go, in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you have questions, raise your hand. I'll come to you. If you have a question, raise your hand. Hallelujah. Okay, you got about 20 seconds. 20 seconds. Wrap it up. Wrap it in. Wrap it up. Okay, if you could wrap it up, we're going to bring this back in. Hopefully this is helpful to you. Hopefully it's helpful for you to see things on a bigger level with your location. And I'm not going to give you a microphone just for the sake of time, but I wanted to kind of review some of these and get some input. How many of y'all that was helpful just to make a little list? Yeah. Was that helpful? It forced you to look at some things you typically would not look at or discuss until you put it in that way. I know in the back there, Jerry, yell out what you guys had. They got my attention. They didn't have a question. They called me back there because Jerry told me they had all the answers. And so what was the one? Go, just give me the one you told me, right?
The small church, it's like when we were at Murraysville, and we only had 40 people, and there was a church there that met after us, and they were inclusive, and we would invite them in, we'd love them in, and they'd say, no, we're okay. You know, four people in their church, and they're just, it was so sad, and we're just so, we were like bulls in a china closet, you know, we're having people, and it was that inclusiveness that
Amen. So inclusivity, like small churches, like it's just me, it's just us, it's just right here. Very, very good. Okay, come on, who else over here? Just small church or large church? What do you got for me? Really quick. Go ahead, Holly. Real quick.
From taking your comfortable to uncomfortable. Large church. Like when you go in and you go to your seat and someone's not in there, like I love that.
Okay.
Okay,
so when you go to your seat in a large or a growing church, somebody's sitting in your seat. In your seat. How many of y'all know Christians are the most territorial beings on the face of the planet? They're the only people in the world that own that seat. Come on, I'm telling you. You're right, but like in a growing church, somebody's sitting there. And I always like to tell people, look how easily it is for you to be replaced. Just the thought. That's not where you were going. I said that part. But so in a growing church, in a small church, I have my seat, I have my place, and that's it. Very good. Who else over here? I'm going a little bit quicker. Real quick.
Growing church has more perspective, so I can get the same message with multiple different perspectives.
Okay. More perspective, more multiple pieces here. Who? Real quick.
We have more resources in a healthy church, a growing church.
Okay, more resources in a healthy, growing church to reach more people. Very good. Real quick.
Small church, pastor does it all. Healthy, growing church, people care for other people.
All the campus pastors should be. Where's my campus pastors? You should be standing up, cheering on right now. Come on, you should be. You can have extra Danishes, juice, whatever you want. Yeah, but listen, this is so true. In a small church, it's pastor-centric. And the pastor knows everything, and everything has to go through the pastor. That is not so in a growing church. There's so much happens right now that I have to go find out. I'm sorry, what are you talking about? Who? What we just do? And that's okay. I don't know everything, but I know who does know. And there's a difference. And so pastor-centric versus pastoral-centric. Very, very good. Somebody else had their hand up over here. Real quick, yell it out. Anybody?
It's me, but I'm in her group.
Oh, you're in her group. Very good. Right here. Come on, real quick. Okay, a small church is preference. This is the way I like it. A growing church or healthy is vision oriented. Very, very good. Jared, real quick.
Small churches, somebody will do it. Growing churches will do it.
Okay, very good. Small churches, somebody will do it. No, growing church, we're going to do it. Very, very good. Gary.
Small churches avoid change, and growing churches are
okay, yeah, small church, they avoid change. They change resistant, but they talk about it a lot. Because I've been a part of a small church mentality. I pastored one. I can say this. It's easy to talk about change, but never be a change. So very, very good. Who else in here? Anybody else here? Yeah.
Small church focuses on who we can keep. Growing church focuses on who we can reach.
Very good. Say that real loud again. Everybody liked that. Everybody like that was a good answer. Good answer. Good. I feel like we're playing Family Feud. Say it real loud again. Come on. Who we can reach. Very, very good. And this is the deal. On Sunday morning, what's the most important thing that happens on every Sunday morning? When we call people to cross the bridge to life and meet Jesus. So in a small church, it's about me. It's about you need to make me happy. Okay? In a growing, healthy church, it's for our friends, family, and those far from God. That's who we want to meet Jesus. We want them to grow. There is a great meal served every single Sunday. The Word of God is served up so great and so awesome. I threw that nobody said amen. I was kind of nervous racking for me, you know. But it's there. But see, what's the most important thing? We don't exist for ourselves anymore. So that means we don't make announcements in a small church. We give vision opportunities in a growing church. See, a small church, they just make an announcement. Oh, see so-and-so. You can't do that in a growing church. No, you have to have a centralized point. You have a centralized way to do things because we want more people to participate. See, I want you to catch this because our goal isn't just to get big and create a bigger organization. See, every number is a name, and every statistic's a story of a life, a story of somebody that's transformed and changed by the power of Jesus Christ, because I still believe in that same power. Come on, what about this group over here? Small church versus big church, or growing church. I'm sorry, I just said big. That was an error on me. I'm sorry.
Small church, similar with age, economic, ethnicity. A growing church has variety.
Okay, small church, similar age,
economic.
We're all the same. I can use that. Yeah, it's financial, but in a growing church, there's a lot of different generations. There's a lot of different skin color, people, processes, the whole deal. And that's what we want to be. We want each of our locations to look like heaven.
Right. Yeah.
Is that good? Yeah. Okay, so that means we have to give up our preference. We have to be able to give up our preference. This is not about me. It's not about my way I do things. Anybody else over here in this section right here? Anybody? They all took the best answers. Is that it? Go ahead.
In a small church, you have to wait for somebody to die to be able to move up in ministry.
Okay. Did y'all hear that? In a small church, you got to wait until somebody dies to move up in ministry.
In a big church, opportunities abound.
Okay, in a healthy, growing church, there are more than enough opportunities for you. Isn't that great? Now, I remember being a part of this church, and once you became a small group leader, the only way out was death. I mean, that was it. You had to die. I mean, it's like, once you became a group leader, that was the only way out, you know? Even if you transferred churches and you left our church, they would find you. You were going to still be a group leader. But you're right, and I think that opportunities abound in a healthy, growing church. And that's what we want. We want health. We want growth. Those are the things that we're looking for. Anybody else over here? Anybody here? Anybody over here? Did I miss you? I didn't want to give everybody an opportunity. Was that helpful there? Was that helpful a little bit? Come on, was that? I think we hit them all. Pleasing focus and inward focus is in a small church. How about this one? In small church, it's so easy to have bad attitudes towards growing churches. Well, they're growing because they're watering down the gospel. They're growing because they're not as good as us. They don't preach hard like us. They don't do worship like us. They don't do things like us. Yeah. Come on. Have you ever said any of those things? Come on. And that is a stifling statement. And listen, we're not here to judge other churches. We're here to create the best place that we can that Jesus wants us to create. That more people can get in and more people can become a part. But that bad attitude thing can really creep in. I'm telling you, when it gets into a culture that we're better than everybody else, it is poison and it's bitterness. And we cannot have that at any of our locations in any way, shape, or form. And that goes back to those standards that we had. How about this? I can just do what I want when I want. When I want tables, I can just show up at the church and get tables. Right? I'm a small church. You could just, I want some chairs. You come in on Sunday mornings, like, where all the chairs go? Oh, so-and-so's having a party. Why don't you just go to your local restaurant and just walk in and take all their chairs and see what happens? No. In a growing, healthy place, there's a system and a way that we have to communicate because we're going to respect what's going on and we don't know everything that's going on. And we're going to have to put in what rooms are we going to request. What rooms are we going to use? And we have to utilize the resources there. I hope this has been helpful to you. Just a couple other ones, just vision-oriented. A growing church mentality has they're development-oriented. They're focused on people far from God. How can we make it more simple and more effective, not easy? Is that good? Yeah. Does that help you?
Yeah.
Okay, so now listen. You're going to go to church tomorrow, and somebody's going to give a little bit of small church mentality. Don't rebuke them. I mean, harshly. Don't rebuke them harshly, okay? Gently. Seasoned with grace, okay? Okay, but we have to be able to do this, you know, because we're gonna need to grow in every one of our locations. The key words this year are multiplication, health, and we're gonna break barriers. Why? Because there's a lot of people dying and going to hell out there, and they're not impressed by our cool churchy services. And that if I have to give up my little churchy service And just so for the purposes of the gospel, so that your friends, family, and far from God can come, I'm going to do it. Because God knows I can get up early in the morning and put my worship music on. I can dance all around my living room. Okay? And I can do that. And we do create other ways to do that. And we will honor that. But on Sunday morning, I want to create a safe place to hear a dangerous message. Y'all good? Okay, one more thing to do, and then we're going to split out into groups here. I want to let you know about the Leadership Development Seminar. Leadership Development Seminar. This is different than Leadership Connection because we're going to do a straight seminar. We're going to meet at 8:45 at Murraysville facility. That's a change that's on some of your calendars there. We just made that last-minute change because we can all be together in one room. We don't need breakouts there. That helps us there. So we're going to host it. We're going to be there. Pastor Mike Ware, Pastor Keith Hodges are going to come. They're going to be covering four critical foundations of leadership. It's going to be straight seminar and discussion. Seminars, discussion. That's what we're going to be doing. We'll have some tea and crumpets there. At 8:45, we're going to start promptly at 9, and we're going to be covering character, calling, competence, and chemistry, the four foundations that we need in our leadership. So I'm asking you to please come, bring some apprentices with you. This is a seminar we're investing a lot of time, energy, and money into developing, because this is a healthy, growing church, is always focused on development and vision. That's what we're doing. Okay, so we want to help you grow in that area. So we want you to come. Our next Leadership Connection isn't until June. You'll hear more about that because we're only going to have four of them this year. I'm so excited that you're here today. How many of y'all this has been useful so far? Has this been good? Come on, has this been a good time? Well, I hope and pray that you're encouraged. I am today. Okay, this is what we're going to do. Am I doing this part? Okay, you're on the edge of your seat. I thought maybe you wanted to.